Dear Sugar is supported by
Dear Sugars, my ex-boyfriend, I'll call him John, was murdered 2 weeks ago. He stood up for a friend when a man made a crude and offensive comment in a bar, and the man stabbed John to death 6 times, including in his neck and heart. His heart, which only a few months ago I felt was my heart too. He was 26 years old, kind-hearted, and brilliant. John and I dated for a little over a year, and we broke up 6 months ago. I'm 24. He was my first real boyfriend, first love, and at this point in my life, my only love. Our relationship was precious and special to both of us. He always told me it was the best relationship he'd ever been in, which made it even more confusing when he very suddenly broke up with me. He could never explain why he broke up with me. All he said was that he felt it was something he needed to do. Our breakup was messy and complicated, and I was heartbroken. We went back and forth for months, me begging him to change his mind, us briefly getting back together for a few weeks, when finally, after about 4 months of this torture, I was finally convinced by my therapist and friends that I needed to cut ties with him for good. I know he knew that I still deeply loved him, and I had to cut off communication with him to move on. But this is one point of torture for me in my grief, the regret I feel about the terms we were on when he died. The second point of torture is more petty, and it makes me feel stupid to even care about it. Less than a week after I cut off contact with John, he went to a conference in another city where he met a woman. I know they communicated for a few weeks afterwards, and then she flew to the city where we live to visit. I found out about this because I saw them together, speculated, and inquired about her to our mutual friends. The last time John and I talked 6 weeks ago, I asked him about her. He told me that he had never been in a relationship with her. He also said their brief thing was over. Still, Sugars, I'm insanely jealous of this woman. After John died, she posted several pictures of the two of them together on Facebook and commented on his page, describing how his personality had been intoxicating to her. She attended his funeral and was crying the whole time, leaning her head on the shoulders of the couple of friends who she had met that one weekend. Logically, I know she has every right to be grieving his death too, and I'm sure that they had a strong connection for her to have flown out to visit him. I also was able to recognize that dozens of his closest friends and family from his hometown, who I'd met previously, approached me at the funeral, hugging me and asking how I was holding up, while hardly any of them even knew who she was. His mother told me that if she could have handpicked anyone for her son to spend the rest of his life with, it would have been me. So I have plenty of validation from others that our relationship was special. And even his close friends have expressed understanding that my grief goes even deeper than theirs because of our strong romantic relationship. But despite this, I can't let go of my jealousy and unjustified hatred of this woman. It feels like it's holding back my ability to truly grieve for John. Cheryl, I've already read so many of your words on dealing with loss in general, and rereading them has brought me a lot of peace in the past few days. But what do I do about the complicated nightmare of this situation? I'm so jealous that our mutual friends and this woman got to spend some of his last precious few months with him while I was giving him the cold shoulder. What do I do? I feel like I need someone to tell me what I'm allowed to feel. Sincerely, jealous ex-girlfriend. That's a hard one.
That's a sad letter. And, you know, we talk about oftentimes sort of the way in which people grieve a relationship. And then we also talk on the show about grieving in its traditional sense, grieving somebody who's gone. This is this nightmare collision of these two forms of grieving. And I think when somebody dies suddenly that you have unresolved feelings towards, and you don't have time to work it out and come to some kind of peace within yourself and between, mostly within yourself, but also with the other person, you're left holding the bag with all these unresolved feelings. And then having at this funeral, this woman, jealous ex-girlfriend, you have to sit there at this event that you feel in a certain way, rightfully, you should serve the role of publicly grieving as the last serious romantic partner. Mm-hmm. And here is this woman going through her own process, but to you it must scan as histrionically appropriating.
Right.
What is yours? So it feels to me like, jealous ex-girlfriend, you're grieving two things at once.
Mm-hmm.
And it's impossible to separate the two. And he didn't ever make clear to you why it had to end. And sometimes when you're 26 or 36 or 46, that's how human relationships are. You never get an honest accounting, but then you're really left holding the bag.
Right.
The basic question, why not me, was never answered.
Well, and in all fairness, of course it wasn't. These are people who are 24 and 26. I'm sure John never imagined
right.
that he would die so young. This was a great tragedy for all kinds of reasons, but one of them is his life was taken from him in an instant. So we're going to do something a little different today on Dear Sugar Radio. We wanted to call Jealous Ex-Girlfriend and speak to her directly. One of the things I know in my experience, both as somebody who has experienced deep grief, but also talked to so many people around the world about their own deep grief, is that it changes day by day. And Jealous Ex-Girlfriend wrote us this letter on one day of her grief journey, a couple of weeks after her ex-boyfriend was murdered. And now here we are a couple of weeks or so beyond that. And I think that it would be best for us to call her and discuss this with her and offer her counsel directly. So yeah. We're going to do that.
And rather than referring to her as Jealous Ex-Girlfriend, which is a little awkward, we're going to just use her first initial A.
Hello.
Hi there. This is Cheryl Strayed.
Hi.
I have Steve Almond here as well.
Hi.
And hi.
We've been just reading your heartbreaking letter. I just want to say, first off, I'm so sorry for your loss. What a tremendously tragic occurrence. I'm so sorry you lost John so young.
Yeah, thank you.
How are you doing?
It's a complicated question. But, I mean, you know, for the first week, I could hardly move
right.
Or do anything, but at least trying to get back to normal and trying to do self-care things and all of that.
Yeah. Are you, one of the things I'm curious about is if you're still in the same place, you know, now a couple of weeks after you wrote us this letter, when it comes to the feelings you expressed in the letter.
I think to some extent, you know, I've had, more time to think about it, you know, and I've talked to other people about my feelings since then, but then it's like, you know, something triggers it and I just feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I was like looking through our text messages from the last time we talked and it made me sad about the terms that we were on when he passed and like the last time we talked. And that still just makes me really sad. Even, you know, when I talk to people and talk to his family and friends about the good parts of our relationship and the happy times, it sucks that the way that it ended with us was bad, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone else is, like, able to lift him up as this perfect person who everyone loves so much. And when you're an ex-girlfriend, you know, you have all of those really happy things, but you also have just some really sad stuff. And for me, the sad stuff is really fresh.
Yeah. And also you, I think, in a way that was very wise, with it sounds like good counsel from a therapist, decided that you needed to cut ties with him.
Yeah.
And actually, that was the right decision. And then in light of his death, it might feel to some extent like you know, abandoned him.
Yeah.
I mean, there are really two big sorrows that you present to us in your letter. And we're going to get to the jealousy in a little bit. That might seem to you the hottest one right now because jealousy does have a lot of heat. But I think that the one that you're going to find, if I had to predict this in your life, that the one that's going to be really the deepest and hardest for you is this regret you have about what happened in the last few months of John's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to tell you, this is really something that so many people struggle with, people who have lost somebody either suddenly or young or in a sort of brief period of time. There's often this years-long process that you have to go through in terms of accepting essentially the relationship for what it was. And I think, you know, one thing that you need to really remember, I hope if you take nothing else away from our conversation but this, it's that, you know, this idea of like that you guys cut off ties and so then therefore you sort of missed out of these last few months of his life. I think that, you know, the decision to cut off ties was actually part of your relationship. It was part of the normal and acceptable and sensible trajectory of whatever would happen between the two of you. You mentioned in your letter that you'd read some of my work. So you know that one of the things that I struggled with is, you know, my mom died when I was in my early 20s. And so I was just coming off these several years of being a teenager and being a young 20-something. And, you know, I didn't always want to hang out with my mom. I wasn't always like the kindest and gentlest and most considerate of my mother in those years before she died. And for so long in my life, I was tormented by that. I mean, just tortured by that. You know, why did I snap at my mom when she said this? Or why didn't I stay home that night? And when my mom said, well, how about we do this instead of that? You know, and the answer to this, that is, because I had my life, because I was a teenager and I was doing what I was supposed to be doing.
Right.
And just like the answer to your question, why wasn't I there for him as a friend during those last few months of his life? The answer to that is because you couldn't be, because you are his ex-girlfriend, because you two loved each other and you needed to redefine the terms of your relationship. And in order to do that, you needed to cut off ties with him for a while.
Right.
You know, so I think that you need to remind yourself all the time that it wasn't a mistake, that this thing that happened and what turned out to be the last few months of his life is not something that you should regret, but was simply part of what you really needed to be doing, not just for yourself, but for your relationship with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say also that even though this is a little bit more difficult to admit to and experience, the terms that you were on when John died were actually terms that he imposed on the relationship in a sense. It wasn't your responsibility. It sounds like from your letter that you were heartbroken and somewhat mystified by why it couldn't work. So when you say the regret I feel about the terms we were on when he died, those terms really weren't set by you. You were really protecting yourself in a way, I think, as Cheryl's saying, that was really your job to do.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the hardest things in life to have that deep desire to wish things were different than they were.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to accept that we don't actually have the power to go back in time and make it different. And so, I mean, I think so much of that healing work you're going to have to do is about acceptance. It's about swallowing the bitterest pills. Mm. It's about saying, I have to allow this truth to be true and find a way to live with it and also find a way to not let it hurt you anymore. I think it's too early for you to do that.
Yeah.
You're grieving the truth of this situation and it just has to hurt for a while.
Yeah.
You said earlier about the feelings toward his more recent lover. I think it sounds like your sense is that those feelings shouldn't matter, that they're petty.
Yeah.
And actually, as I thought about your letter, it seemed to me that one way of avoiding directly confronting that this person is gone and you won't have the chance to repair a relationship, have him in your life, standing in the way of that or distracting you from that is a set of feelings about this other woman. What do you think she represents to you? I mean, when you think back to sort of seeing her and thinking about her suddenly coming into John's life a week after you cut off ties.
I think, yeah, I've thought about it a little bit recently. And I think one thing that has kind of helped me in this grief is people recognizing that I was a really significant part of his life and that he was a significant part of mine. And so it's selfish, but I like want people to recognize that I'm more hurt than other people. Huh. And I think she kind of feels like a threat to that. I think most people recognize that my relationship with him was significant and it was a serious relationship, mm-hmm. but it's like with her, you know, posting these tributes to him on his Facebook page and posting photos of them together, like, I don't know, she's trying to make their relationship be seen as really significant. And then that just feels like it makes me fade more into the distance and feel like my feelings are less valid because he had been with someone else or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in your letter, A, you're really reasonable about this. You say you logically, you know, she has every right to be grieving his death too.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say she does.
Mm-hmm.
She
yeah.
has the right to be at his funeral leaning on, you know, the mutual friend, the roommate. She has the right to post Facebook pictures. Grief is not a competition.
Yeah.
This is a huge tragedy. And everyone who knew John has the right to grieve his loss. And that looks different, you know, because of we grieve differently. You know, I remember getting in this game myself, frankly. I remember actually my mother's mother, who is still alive, my grandmother, and I, in the months after my mom died, I remember at one point my grandmother crying and saying, I know you're sad, Cheryl, but I lost a child, and that is the worst thing that can happen to anyone.
Mm.
And I remember feeling so angry at her
yeah.
because I thought, you know what? How dare you tell me that your grief is worse than mine or bigger than mine. And the fact of the matter is we both lost somebody
right.
really important in our lives.
Right.
And so it didn't serve us to compare our sorrows to each other. These are things that can't be compared. And so
yeah.
the question is not really at all like whether she's behaving appropriately or not. It's the question is, how do you manage your legitimate feelings about her? And
yeah.
part of it, honestly, you know, I think that part of like what you said, it sounds like pride in a funny way. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you know how you feel about John. You know the relationship you had with John. And yet you also want others to acknowledge this. And I think
yeah.
that's a perfectly reasonable emotional response. But I also would like to encourage you to think about trying to let that go a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to prove to anyone that you love John and John loved you, okay? First of all, you know it. And second of all, it sounds to me like a lot of the people in your life know that too. And
yeah.
you broke up and he was seeing somebody else. He had this, you know, brief relationship with a woman who is also shocked and saddened by his death, you know? And
yeah.
One of the things, this might seem like an enormous leap right now, but another thought I want you to consider is reaching out to her. Because you have a very, very big thing in common, and that is you are grieving the death of this man that you both cared about. And you cared about him in different ways, and you had different relationships with him. But she is not your enemy. And
mm-hmm.
I think to think about her not as the opposition, but as somebody who is on your side, who's had, you know, she's had this experience too. And so just shifting that perspective might open up a whole new world for you.
Yeah.
What do you think of that idea?
It feels sort of like a punch in my stomach to think about doing it.
Yeah. Why? Why?
I guess just, I mean, it's jealousy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I totally recognize that is true and could be true. I actually like, I've been talking to his high school ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how interesting.
She reached out to me and, you know, I was really touched by it.
Right.
And she didn't even like present herself as like, I'm his ex-girlfriend. She was like, I was a friend and I knew who she was. And, you know, we've been talking about the fact that we both had really special memories with him and knew him really well at different stages of his life. And I mean, it's been nice to talk about that with her. And so I, you know, now I'm realizing like the parallels of this situation.
Yeah. And one of the things we do in jealousy, I mean, and I'm not saying you do this tomorrow, but maybe it's in a couple months. But one of the things
yeah.
that happens when we're jealous of somebody, we demonize them because
yeah.
we need to justify our own sort of small-hearted feelings.
Yeah.
I don't usually in my advice say, like, I strongly think you should do this. But I just want to say, I strongly think that you should reach out to this woman. I really do. I hope you'll think about it, because I think that putting a human face on her and talking to her about her own sorrow and sharing yours with her will diffuse these feelings you have that seem so heightened about her, and heightened in a way that I absolutely understand. Frankly, I would feel the same way, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't mean to say you shouldn't feel this way. I understand why you feel that way. And I think that one of the ways to stop feeling that way is to connect with her. Yeah. So if you do decide to do that, I'd love to hear how it turns out.
Yeah. Quick question. How would you open that conversation?
I would just say I've been so sad about John, and I can imagine you are too. And maybe even acknowledge some of those feelings. Just say, I know that it might seem weird. Here we are, you know, I'm the ex-girlfriend and you're the woman he began dating after me. But I just wanted to reach out to you because we have this big thing in common, and that's our friendship with John.
Yeah.
And my condolences to you. You know, I think that offering a hand in the face of such a deep tragedy, it almost always turns out well, because what you're welcoming into your life is togetherness and generosity. It's all of the stuff that's the opposite of what happened to John and his death. And so I just want you to let that in. You're suffering enough having to deal with his death. You don't need to suffer more over obsessing over this woman he dated for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems counterintuitive, but in moments where we feel petty and jealous, I think experimenting with grace, being extremely gracious, can really be unexpectedly liberating. Even if you don't want to immediately write her a note, just experimenting with the idea of writing something to her that, rather than casting her as the enemy and a rival, is somebody who is, you know, with you in mourning. And, you know, possibly as a part of that, recognizing that part of your quote-unquote unjustified hatred is really a very justifiable and inevitable anger at John's leaving.
Yeah.
One thing that happens when people die, especially when they die suddenly and we have complicated unresolved feelings, is we're angry. We're angry at them. We're angry at them because they're gone. And even if in a case like this, not only is it not his fault, but it sounds like he was acting really heroically and virtuously. But it's still true that when people die, we're angry at them for leaving us. And sometimes, especially when they're sanctified, it's hard to feel permission to feel angry at them. And so oftentimes what we do is we displace those feelings on a logical suspect. And I think that might be part of who this woman is to you. She is the woman who got, you know, this ex's attention. She was the next one. He chose her, even if it was only for a weekend, after really not choosing you.
Yeah.
And that hurts, and it should hurt, because that relationship mattered to you a lot, and you love the guy.
Yeah.
It's the toughest work in life to really experience your feelings and be present for them, but it's also the only way that you're able to, you know, kind of let go of, for instance, these feelings of jealousy that might be getting in the way of just a deep sadness about this loss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. I don't know if I was expecting to be able to talk to you guys, and it's really awesome, and I feel very fortunate.
Be well. Be well. Let us know, you know, whether or not you get in touch. Write us a note if you would, just letting us know where you are in a few months.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye, A.
Bye.
All right, well, we wish jealous ex-girlfriend A very well.
Yeah.
And I know that it's you know, it's a sort of a trite thing to say, that time will soften this grief. It will always be deeply, deeply horrible that this happened to John. And the people who loved him will always, always grieve him. That never goes away.
Yeah.
But there will be better days. There will be days that the people who love him will better know how to live with that loss.
Mm.
I know that to be true. And so we wish that not just to jealous ex-girlfriend, but to all the people who loved him.
Yeah. We should tell you that Dear Sugar Radio is produced by WBUR in Boston. We're produced and edited by the wonderful Lisa Tobin. We're recording here at Talkback Sound and Visual in Portland, Oregon. Please listen and subscribe on iTunes and write to us at dearsugarradio@gmail.com.